Well, you know, over the last several weeks or so, we have been talking about how God can mold and shape us into the likeness of His Son. And we've been touching on various subjects during that time. And today, we're going to talk about one of the more difficult emotions that some folks seem to have trouble with, and that's anger. And anger is probably one of the more difficult things to deal with because it's really a complex emotion. You see, anger can surface at the strangest of times and for the strangest of reasons, and sometimes it's shown in some of the strangest ways. And before we get too far into all this, let me just say up front that anger is in itself not a sin. Just like love in itself is not a sin. But the love of certain things is sinful, and sometimes the way love is expressed is sinful. So you see, the same thing is true with anger. It's more like what we do with anger that makes it sinful. You see, if anger isn't handled properly, it can be very dangerous and very destructive. It can hurt us, and it can hurt others in all kinds of different ways, whether it's physically or emotionally or spiritually. And right about now, I could probably pull up on the news and list all kinds of things that have happened that have shown improper expressions of anger, the shootings and other acts of violence that have really just plagued, it seems, our country over the past several years. But sadly, you know, I don't think there's any need to do that because everything is so fresh in our minds. Things just happening the other day with shooting at a theater again. But that, again, is why it's so important to learn to properly deal with anger, because an angry man stirs up dissension and a hot-tempered man commits many sins, the scripture says in Proverbs 29:22. Now, I think it'd be one of those things that'd be really great if there was some easy cure-all for anger, maybe like some little magic purple pill that all you have to do is take it and everything's going to be all sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, and everything, and that's wonderful. And that was a song, I think, in the 50s. Leslie Gore. There you go. Pull up my oldies DJ for you. But there's no such thing. There's no such thing, and it's probably a good thing because we do actually need anger for certain things. Anger is something that many people, though, find serious problems to deal with. And so what we want to do today is take a look at God's Word and see what God's Word has to offer us when it comes to encouragement with being able to tame the temper, if you will. And so to begin, let's talk about some anger myths, because I hear some of this stuff sometimes, and maybe you do too. And there are plenty of myths about anger. But for the sake of time and things today, we'll just look at three of the more common ones. And the first myth is that I cannot control my anger. Look, I'm big and green, you know, muscular and all that stuff. And you know, there are people who use that kind of excuse all the time to try to justify their violent eruptions as some sort of maybe healthy venting. And they say things like, you know, it's not good to hold it in, or I just feel so much better when I let it out. But Proverbs 29:11 tells us that a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And so really, like all the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, you've got the wise contrasted with the fool. And we're told here that it's the wise man who keeps himself under control. And that means that what we do with anger really is a choice. Think about it. Every time a person gets angry, they choose whether or not to allow that anger to just boil up inside them and explode. Or they choose to cause it to subside and then act appropriately for the situation. Even people who have the greatest problems with anger don't always explode when they're angry. I mean, most people don't completely lose it with their boss, not that I know of, or with the person at the checkout counter. They exercise some control. And if you don't think it's possible, just think about this scenario. You find yourself in some kind of a heated discussion with somebody, right? And your voice is getting louder and harder. And all of a sudden, your phone rings. And then magically, you control your temper and say, hello. You know, what happened? You know, So to say that you can't control your anger is simply not true, okay? So we can and we do it. The problem is that we've gotten into the habit of losing our control in certain settings and with certain people. And sadly, it's often with those that we love, our spouse or our children. So myth busted, all right? It's not that we can't control our anger, it's simply that we won't or we haven't learned the proper response. Okay, the second anger myth is other people or circumstances make me angry. Now, think about what we're saying when we say something like that. We're claiming that we have no control over our actions. We're saying that we are the victims here. It's somebody else's fault that I'm so mad. Now, if that's true, then why does James 1:19 tell us that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry? You see, if our second anger myth is true, then God's a liar. God's not a liar. His word is truth, right? There's no lie found in him. And that means that it is possible to be slow to become angry by a matter of our own personal will. Unfortunately, we've learned from others, whether it's through real people or through the media. And I think, sadly, the media has really played this up a whole lot where something goes wrong, so somebody blows something up or something. So, hey, you know, that looks like a good thing to do. I'll do that too, right? But Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says it this way. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. So we need to look out what we're dealing with here when it comes to media and those people that seem to blow up all the time and to not follow their example. We certainly don't want to pick up any negative habits from others. We'll pick up good habits. Still another reason, though, for staying away from someone so easily angered is that sooner or later, and prayerfully you haven't experienced this, but sooner or later you're going to be the blame for their anger. And say, like, you made me mad, you know, and they're going to all of a sudden take it out on you. So you got to be careful. All right. Again, it's not true that other people or circumstances make you angry. You choose to be angry about that person or the circumstance. Okay, the third anger myth is, I was born that way. I was born with a bad temper. You've seen babies do, right? Yeah, they were born with a bad temper, all right? You still kept that way. It just, you know, you're just a little immature. Anyway, but we've heard that kind of argument today with other matters, right? I was born that way. Yeah, okay. You know, we say things like that, you know, because we want some sort of validation. We say, that's just how my side of the family is. You know, we're all hot-headed. Now, as a general disclaimer, there may be some truth to the biological propensity to all kinds of things. Someone could actually be born with some sort of a mental disability that has messed up some way they can diffuse anger, okay? But overall, the evidence has shown us that there is more correlation between our environment and our behavior than our biology. That even comes with other people who say they're born that way. It's got to do more with our environment than our biology. And that means that mismanaged anger is really a learned behavior. The idea that if our parents dealt with anger inappropriately by pounding balls, slamming things, doing whatever, then there's a good chance that we're going to mimic their behavior, even as adults. So if you ever catch yourself doing that, stop and say, do I really need to do that? You know? And so for those who seem not to be able to control their anger, they have somehow learned this behavior some way, that somehow throwing a fit is some kind of an effective means of getting their way. Goes back to being two, or whatever, you know? And that means that the ability to control our temper has less to do with biology and more to do with theology. How so? Well, if we're Christian, then we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Acts 2:38 says so. Okay. And if we have the Holy Spirit, then we can develop the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:19 through 21 goes ahead and gives us this description of sinful behaviors. And that includes stuff like hatred and discord and fits of rage, which we're told need to be gotten rid of meaning that it is possible, and replaced by the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23, which include the contrast of things like that, like love, patience, gentleness. These things can be developed, you see. You see, the biblical position is that anger is an option. It's an option that the believer needs to learn to control and channel in a healthy and appropriate way. Colossians 3:8 says that we need to get rid of things like anger and rage. And again, that means that it's possible to get rid of them. And that's because getting rid of anger, getting rid of those things, you know, rage and all, is a part of that molding and shaping that God does in order to form us more into the likeness of His Son. And we can see how that is possible by looking at what I'm going to call two truths about anger. Looked at three myths, we'll look at two truths. Three myths, two truths, one course of action. I think that's what, anyway. First of all, anger is a window into the heart. Think about it again. Anger is like some sort of a smoke detector warning us that something is wrong below the surface. And really, the smoke isn't even the problem. It isn't even really the fire. Something had to happen to cause the smoke and the fire. Whether that's a lightning strike, someone playing with matches, throwing out a cigarette, not extinguishing a campfire, something, you see. And then when you go back to that, you think, well, maybe they weren't instructed in the proper way to do this stuff, all right? And so when we find ourselves getting angry, that anger is actually telling us that something is going on that needs our immediate attention. The anger is a sign of something that's underneath it all, you see. See, anger is usually not the real problem, but it's a reaction to a problem. Just look at the examples from the scriptures. If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, Cain was angry. But underneath that anger was really a resentment that his brother's offering was more acceptable to God than his. And rather than just talk it out, talk to God, he goes off and kills his brother. Remember, rocks kill people, so we need to have laws about that. But anyway, the point is that his problem was not anger. His problem was the resentment that he had experienced with his brother. And then there's King Saul, who got so angry at David that he tried to kill him multiple times. The example I could think of off the top of my head was 1 Samuel 19. And again, that's an example because there are plenty of times that Saul tried to kill David. But no matter the number of times, there's a reason behind Saul's anger. It's because he was insecure. He was concerned that David was going to take the throne, even though God already gave it to him, but it was going to happen when Saul moved out, not beforehand, because David would not lay a hand against the Lord's anointed, you see. Saul was insecure that his position might be threatened. So he was angry with David and wanted to get rid of this guy. Then in Luke 15, just thinking of an example, the story of the prodigal son, we see the older brother became angry at the father and the younger brother. But underneath that anger is this perceived unfairness. You never killed a fattened calf for me, you know. There's perceived unfairness of his father and resentment toward his brother. How could you do that for that little whiny brat that ran off with your money and spent it all? You know, blah, blah, blah. So that's why he was angry, you see. But the anger wasn't the problem. It was other things. Let's not forget all the critics of Jesus in the New Testament who are often angry with him. But again, the reason behind their anger was a lot of misunderstanding about who Jesus was, about what he was doing. There was unbelief. There was pride. There was some of that same insecurity with position too, with the Pharisees. Oh, Jesus is going to take this away from us, you know. All kinds of reasons they were angry at Jesus. Now, what all this tells us is that if we find ourselves being angry all the time, then what that is that it's likely some kind of an attempt to divert attention away from a more painful emotion. Something else is happening that is not being dealt with. So what we need to do is try to understand what's underneath the surface, what's causing our angry spirit and the angry outburst. You see, anger is often has its source in some kind of bitterness that we talked about last week, or unforgiveness that we really haven't dealt with. And whatever it is, though, we've become wounded now and insecure, and we've developed maybe even a self-hatred of ourselves because we haven't dealt with something. And so in order to handle our anger, we first really need to go ahead and ask God to search our hearts and to show us what's really going on beneath the surface of our own lives, you know, that, you know, and find out what might be the source of our angry outbursts that we're having. Again, angry outbursts, anger in itself, is just a window to our heart. It's showing us what's inside. And second, if that window is left wide open, things can fly into there, right? It becomes a way for the devil to get inside. Someone once rightfully noted that if you just add one letter to the word anger, you end up with danger. And that D is the devil. Think back to our scripture reading this morning from Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, where we're told that in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Now notice here again that Paul doesn't credit the devil with making us angry. The devil didn't make us do it, all right? You see, we might have a very legitimate reason to be angry, but if we don't deal with our anger quickly and appropriately, then the devil will take advantage of it. You see, anger, again, is a God-created emotion. That means that God has created us with the ability to be angry for reasons. Just think about it. If we're ever violated by someone, well, we should feel anger. Or when we see someone else being harmed or treated unjustly, again, we should feel anger. Even Jesus got angry at those times and in those situations, but his anger and his response was not sinful. He was just like us, but he never sinned. He handled things appropriately. And so, you know, again, it's okay to be angry when we see corruption and injustice. And it's okay to be angry when we see evil harming up, you know, all kinds of things and doing stuff. And it's shown in crimes and shootings and abortions and rape and abuse of all kinds of things. Now, those things should make us angry. The reason that we're angry, prayerfully, is because Satan is busy taking souls to hell with him. Still, while it's, you know, okay to be angry, these feelings that we have need to be controlled and channeled in appropriate ways. Because if we don't deal with anger properly, then the devil can set up his base of operation right there in our hearts and give us, you know, reason to be used as a destructive tool for the devil. And I don't think any of us wants that, you know. He could use that open doorway to our hearts to destroy our souls and to use us to destroy others rather than save them. Okay, back to the Proverbs. There in Proverbs 25 and verse 28, we're told that like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. You see, the devil just loves to come in through that opening in our hearts created by anger. So close the door, right? Close the window. Shut the window. Don't let the devil in. That sounds like it could be a song. Doesn't it? Close the door. Shut the window. Don't let the devil in. I could just shut the door. Close. If you just get a beat going with that, you can make a good spiritual probably. So how do we do that? Well, let me offer some things that we can be doing to better manage our anger. First, we need to go ahead and place our heart before God. Remember again, sometimes anger is really the right response to something. Over in Mark chapter 11 and verses 15 through 17, Jesus got angry at the money changers and he overthrew the tables, you know? And again, at the Pharisees in Matthew 23, Jesus listed so many woes. I'm thinking, whoa, Jesus, back off, you know. But again, he expressed it in an appropriate way because Jesus did not sin in this action. Then again, at the disciples in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, when they wouldn't let the little children come to him, he was angry and he rebuked them, the scripture says. Simply put, Jesus got angry when someone was dishonoring God or another person. And yet there were times when Jesus stayed completely calm when people were dishonoring him. And so when we get angry, we need to stop right there and bring it to God and ask God to search our hearts. Should I be angry? What am I angry about? Are my motives pure? Do my feelings show that there's a part of me that needs to be put to death? Are we just dealing with this in the wrong way? Why am I angry? Ask God, you know. Think about it. The more we surrender our expectations and rights to God, then the less angry we'll be because we've gone ahead and given it to God. Second, we need to alter our anger management strategy. Think about it. You know, if we've learned an inappropriate way to handle our anger, then we could also learn a better way. And so as we mature in Christ, we can discover godly ways in his word on how to act rather than react to the people and circumstances around us. The idea is that in Christ we can be made new, so we're not the people that we used to be, right? And that means that we don't have to live the way that we used to live. We can actually change. We can change. Right? Third, we need to admit our anger. And that means to call it like it is. When we're angry, then we're angry, you know? But that doesn't mean that we have to speak out in angry tones or in angry ways and be violent and go shooting up or blowing up things. Just, I'm angry about that. Okay, you know? So rather than try to repress or suppress our anger, we need to express it and confess it in appropriate ways. That makes me mad. That makes me angry about that. You know, we need to do something about that. Well, what are we going to do? Fourth, we need to quickly submit our anger to God rather than holding on to it. Or else, again, the devil's going to get a hold of us. And so we need to humble ourselves before God in prayer and talk to him about our anger. I think the more we find ourselves talking about it, the more we'll see that, yeah, no problem there, you know. Or if there is, there's a better way to handle it than maybe what we initially thought, you know. So ask God to help us to use the anger that we're experiencing to do good rather than evil. If there's some injustice, rather than trying to squelch the person doing the injustice, how can you help that to not happen again? How can you help the injustice, the person or the people experiencing that, you know? Finally, we need to forgive in advance. And that's a tough one. You know, we talked about that some last week from Ephesians 4:32, to be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's because, you know, some of our anger might actually come from a real injury, you know, or some sort of injustice. But if we don't learn to forgive, whether we're wronged or not, that stuff will only build up and lead to more anger and more rage. And like we talked about last week, the other individual doesn't need to be there to forgive. You could forgive them. Forgiveness is one way. Reconciliation is two-way. All right. Think about it. God has extended his great grace to us. And so we must learn to extend it to others. It reciprocates when we confess his name and we are baptized, you see. But it's there for the taking. Jesus has forgiven us on the cross. But until we go ahead and accept that, we're not forgiven. Anyway, remember, we don't deserve God's mercy, but he gave us mercy anyway. And so others might not deserve our mercy either, but we must learn to give it to them anyway. And prayerfully, they'll accept it, and we can be reconciled. You know, God wants to mold us and shape us into the likeness of his Son. And sometimes, to do that, the clay really needs to be kneaded really, really well. Fold it over, push it down, fold it over, push it down. I liken all that to the struggles that we all face, to having to deal with anger. Anger can be one of those struggles that need to be kneaded and smoothed into the clay, you see. But when it comes to anger, again, remember that, you know, you can actually control your anger. And we can choose to be angry or choose to not. And our environment, our circumstances really do play a really big part in the way we handle anger. And that's why it's important, again, to remember that anger can very much be a window to our heart. And if we leave that window open, Satan's going to sneak in. So we need to manage that anger appropriately. to humble ourselves and bring our anger to God and to ask Him to guide us in the matter. And if we do that, I think we'll find that it's very possible to anger and not sin. Now, as we wrap things up this morning, I think it's important to remember that sometime during this week, if not by the end of the day, we're most likely going to experience something that will result in an anger response. It might be something that someone does or says or doesn't do or doesn't say, or someone out on the street in another car. And so before it builds up and blasts out in some kind of inappropriate way, we need to remember again that anger is a window to our heart, so don't let it be a door for the devil. So admit that anger, quickly submit it to God, talk to Him in prayer, talk to Him about the whole thing, allow Him to help us to control and to channel our anger in positive, godly ways. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time to relearn a learned behavior, to unlearn it, and to learn a good behavior. Of course, again, in order to be able to lay all of our hearts before God and to seek His direction, we need that right relationship with God. We need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We need to be saved. So if there's anyone here who's yet to confess Jesus, repent of their sins, and be baptized in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, I'd like to encourage you to do that today. And for those of us who are already Christians here this morning, well, then the challenge for us is to go ahead and to bring our anger before God and to ask Him to help us with it, to respond to our anger in appropriate ways that are right by His sight. So today, if there's anyone here who needs to come forward and give their lives to Christ, or maybe ask for prayers that maybe weren't mentioned earlier, or if you have some other need, I'd like to encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.